Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Thursday, the 12th of January, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe, and in Douglas and Cochise County, folks listen to Buckmaster on KAPR, AM 930. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. Also, we have three venues for you to listen to our show anytime, anywhere. You can go to my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All of those places have our show for you to listen to anytime. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We will begin with a newsmaker interview with Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez, who is urging the United States Justice Department to stop the planned closure of the U.S. Postal Service Processing Center in Tucson. 20 minutes past the hour, more and more Americans are heading south of the border for medical care. We'll talk with our Mexico contributor Keith Rosenblum about that. At 30 minutes past the hour, General John Wickham, the former Army Chief of Staff and head of American and South Korean forces in Korea. He has some very valuable insights for us into the recent regime change in North Korea. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez has joined the growing chorus of Tucson and Pima County officials and citizens who are urging the U.S. Postal Service to please reconsider its plan to close the Tucson Postal Processing Center and have all Arizona mail delivered to Phoenix for processing. The county recorder has sent a 5-page letter to the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice saying the closure of the Tucson Mail Processing Center will harm the voting rights of Native Americans in Pima County. F. Ann Rodriguez joins us now in studio with me on the Buckmaster Show. Ann, good to see you.
Good to see you, and thank you for inviting me to this.
And I suppose it's still not too late to say Happy New Year.
No, it is Happy New Year, and I had a birthday too, so I'm 1 year older.
There you go. Congratulations. Ann, what are you hoping that your letter to the Justice Department will do, and what was at the crux of this letter?
Well, simply, I did file a letter with the post office, too, with our concerns and laid them all out. I went ahead and decided to go ahead and notify the Department of Justice that even though this is not a state law change, which we are required by law to notify them anytime we're changing any type of voting procedures, that the actions of the proposal of the United States Postal Service to close the processing center here will impede the processing of people who choose to vote by mail. And now we have several jurisdictions, school districts, the city of Tucson, and we have over 250,000 voters here in Pima County alone who have already signed up for the permanent early voting list. That means they want us to send them a ballot for every election. Well, the delay is going to impede it, but the biggest delay is going to be for Native Americans because the Native Americans have one central postal location in cells. They're not like you and I. We walk out to our front door and we go get our mail. They have to walk out their front door, get into their car, and drive 30 to 60 miles to go to the closest postal service. So that's my biggest objections. So I didn't want to wait until the post office made a decision. I wanted to be proactive and say, no, these two federal agencies need to talk to each other to say, the Postal Service is making a decision, but what is the rippling effect going to be to those people on voting? And ultimately, voting is our one civic duty that all of us cherish, and people fight for this duty.
So it's not just the Native American voters who will be impacted. All of us who vote by mail. This is going to change the whole time frame of voting by mail.
It absolutely, because we are required all the county recorders must mail on the same date. when the first day of early voting, which is always a Thursday. So it now has to be – and our processing center, as far as where we assemble the ballots for our large elections, is already in Phoenix. So they'll be taking them there. Then they got to truck them down here and then do the distribution, which, in fact, what we've already been doing, because the post office has told us already that they cannot handle the volume. There's over 1.4 million voters in the entire state of Arizona that want early ballots all on the same day. So they've said they cannot handle the quantity that Maricopa, which has 850,000, Pima County has 250. So we take them for from our assembly center location from our vendor in Phoenix, and we drive them down to Tucson so that we don't have that delay already in Phoenix.
And
so,
how about our friends who are listening to this program in Cochise County and Santa Cruz County?
They're going to be having to, wherever they do their assembly, and most of them do it locally, they'll have to put them in a truck. And they're already used to just taking them quickly to Tucson because this was their processing center. The Tucson plant handles Cochise County and Santa Cruz County citizens. So now they're going to have to truck them all the way up to Phoenix and then go into that big maze. And, you know, Bill, we're only two vendors that are going in on this one day. They can't handle it, and that's the biggest criteria. It's also that the processing of when people have voted their ballots and want to return them to us. We pay for the postage. So they have not given us an answer as where they're going to be delivering this. So people will have to submit their ballots even to us earlier than they would have to make sure that they get to us in time, because the law states it must be in the recorder's possession by 7 p.m. on election day.
Bottom line, the window that a person would have to decide at home about, you know, their choice is going to be changed.
Absolutely. It'll be changed for every single one, but the biggest changes be for Native American. You know, the two letters that I have, they're posted on my website at recorder.pima.gov. They're under the press release section, and we give a full detail to the post office how this will impact it. And I also explain into the Department of Justice the impact of voters in the state of Arizona. And what I include in, as far as the state of Arizona, because we also have the Navajos and Apaches, you know, in northern Arizona, it's going to affect all Native Americans throughout the entire state of Arizona.
Did you get any reply, even a form letter from the Justice Department, or how does this work?
Well, what we do, we send it certified mail, so okay. I haven't got the certified mail card back yet. And then they log it in, and then we can go online to see where my situation. But usually they have 60 days to respond to an issue that a governmental entity has brought up. So I will be following up with them, and I'm sure that they will be following up with the post office because these are two federal agencies. I also sent all my communication to the Secretary of State, because they're the elections official of the state of Arizona, to all our congressional delegation, to bring it to the two United States senators, both McCain and Kyle, and to all our congressional delegation too.
Yeah, we had Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, with us in studio yesterday, and he said in the long run that may be people who are upset about this. The best choice might be just to contact Congressman Grijalva's office and Congresswoman Gifford's office and voice your opinion on this. That might even be, in the long run, more effective than sending a letter, because it will be Congress that will probably make this decision.
Well, Congress has some financial things that they can do to ease the burden on the Postal Service. So the citizens have that one. But you also must contact the two United States senators.
That's right. Kyle and McCain also should get calls or letters.
Sure, because if it's going to impact their voting situation, every citizen who votes by mail should actually call everyone, all their congressional delegation.
And the loss of the pre-sorted postal discount that nonprofits in our community get, this is really going to cost them as well.
Well, it'll also cost me too, because that's why we trucked them down from Phoenix to Tucson, because I was saving money. And we also pay for the postage returning, so that'll, if it's going to be going back to Phoenix, it's going to cost us. And costing us,
because you'll lose that pre-sorted postal discount.
Correct. That we learned. That's why we delivered them. We trucked them down from Phoenix to Tucson for that specific reason. And when I say we cost us, it's costing the taxpayers.
Right. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, is with us. She has been the Pima County Recorder for 19 years now. Have you ever seen anything like that? It seems crazy to me that a city, an area that has a million people, and then, of course, Cochise and Santa Cruz, an area like this without a mail processing center, it just seems crazy.
It does seem crazy. You know, we're a very large community. The West is growing in leaps and bounds. You know, we saw the decline recently because of the economy of the growth, but it'll continue growing. People are not moving to the East Coast. They're moving out to the West Coast to enjoy our beautiful sunshine and our mountains out here. So we need to have our business climate be successful for our small businesses. You know, we have delivery of services out here, and we need to provide that service out here. I mean, we have a major Raytheon is one of the biggest military bases or
defense contractor.
You're absolutely right. And then we have Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And so we need to protect what it is out here. And the more citizens that actually call our delegation, I think the more it'll work for in our benefit.
And while we have you here, we have a presidential preference election that is coming up. That's February the 28th. Who will be able to vote in this election?
The only people that will be able to vote are those that are registered Republican and Green. So unlike our statewide primary elections where independents, for all those independents or party not designated people, if you want to vote in this election, you'll have to re-register as either a Republican or a Green to participate. This is the only election that's different, is a presidential preference. It does not allow those that are registered as independent or party not designated to participate. In other words, they get to select their ballot. So it's an educational component we're going to start driving up here to educate all those. And we have over a third of our state are now registered as independents. We need to educate them as if they're following the national Republican primary elections that, you know, if they want to participate in this one, and they have until January 30th to re-register as either Republican or Green to participate in this election.
And you've tried to make that process very easy for people.
Sure. They can go to Service Arizona and just click on registering to vote, and as long as they have an Arizona State driver's license, they can do it right online.
There's also an all-mail, all-by-mail election coming up in the town of Oro Valley.
Yes, they'll be electing some city council people. So that's coming up to
I think that's March the 13th.
It's March 13th, and the cutoff for that particular election is February 13th. So we have a lot of activities in here in the Valley coming up.
The independents, you said it's about a third in the state. Is that about the way it is in Pima County too, about one out of three voters now independent?
It's roughly running in that option, you know. It's still a Democrat county. But the Republicans will be getting a ballot for those that are on the Pebble automatically. But we're trying to reach out to those that are independents, that if they want to participate in this election, that they'll have to re-register as a Republican or a Green. And then simply after this election, they can re-register back as an independent and keep on going to the next 4 years.
Did the redistricting give you some problems this late decision on redistricting?
They're going to be tweaking some of the congressional legislative lines to follow our supervisory district lines. So we'll be processing that. And once my office is completed with that one, we'll be notifying every single registered voter of their new precinct number, their new legislative and congressional district lines. That has to be done by May 1st.
Okay. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder. Let's go over some information where people can get a hold of you.
They can go to my website at recorder.pima.gov, or they can call my office, and we have a new phone number at 724-4330.
Okay. 740-4330.
All
right. FN Rodriguez. And one thing I know you have always prided yourself on is customer service, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I take the customers, I take the idea. It's all any idea. We get most of our ideas from the public or staff.
Okay. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show. And good luck in this effort to get the Postal Service to wake up and look at reality.
And I think we all need to wake up as a community because this impacts every single one of us.
It really is big. Thank you very much, Ann. Coming up now on 1219 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Let's listen now to the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
/12:22 now on the Buckmaster Show. Banking on worries over rising health costs, government and health officials in Mexico are courting U.S. residents who are searching for affordable medical care. Keith Rosenblum is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Keith also writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. Keith joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. He is in Mexico in Hermosillo. How are you, Keith? No, not in Hermosillo.
Hello, Bill. Did you say he writes incoherently for his Tucson Business? Is that the word I heard?
Where are you?
I'm hallucinating. I'm between Nogales and Hermosillo right now. I'm in Imuris.
Oh, okay.
Which could be, under the right scenario, which could be the right place for people to go for health care. It's a good springboard for the topic because when you have a differential of somewhere between 3-1 and 10-1, depending on the type of service you're looking for, and this goes across the board. This is medical, dental, virtually anything. Then you're going to have the possibility of a really buoyant marketplace.
Well, Americans, especially here in Arizona, have been going for health care across the border. Nogales, a lot of people go down there for dental treatment. What do you hear about health care across the border?
Well, actually, it's a worldwide phenomenon now. So, and I think Mexico is actually playing catch-up to places like Thailand and Singapore and other places. Those have kind of skimmed the real cream of the cream kind of operations that that in the States might cost $50,000 or $100,000 the same types of surgeries or same kind of treatments, including rehab, end up costing a fraction of that, let's say 15-20%. And it's only in the last couple of years that Mexico has looked at it as being a part of its tourism industry. They call it medical tourism. And you've had, traditionally, you've had places like Nogales, where people have come to and created a marketplace, lots of dentists and doctors and pediatricians, too, who cater to Americans and a lot of the Chicano population of the United States. But there's a place I would urge you to visit if you haven't been there, just opposite, just near Yuma. There's a little town called Algodones. It's on the California, it's on the, where the California border is Andrade, California. Algodones is the Mexican side. And it's an entire Mexican medical pueblo. You walk in, there's nothing on the U.S. side, and you walk into Mexico, Algodones, and it's beautiful marble buildings. It's an oasis, but in the finest sense of the word. It's everything from ophthalmologists to surgeons to pharmacies. It's a medical town of probably 3,000 or 4,000 people, maybe more now. And on and every day between 8 and 8, which is when the California border is open, you have people flocking there from the Yuma area, from Imperial Valley, and even from San Diego. It's a fascinating, it's maybe what's to come. That's the highway component of it. When you get into things that are more costly in the U.S., then it's actually worth putting someone on a flight and sending them to Guadalajara or Mexico City or elsewhere.
Keith Rosenblum is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Paul on the Buckmaster Show live line. Paul has a question about safety of prescription drugs across the border. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you very much. My sister used to go down to Nogales and buy some of her pharmaceuticals, and she got information. I'm not sure if it was a magazine or the internet that some of those drugs that were being sold in Mexico were not as advertised, that they were putting phony materials, sometimes even unsafe materials, into those pills, and she stopped going down. Now, I'm wondering if that's true, and I think probably it is, that why wouldn't we be worried about their medical and dental facilities as well?
Thank you, Paul. Go ahead, Keith.
First of all, on the integrity of the medicine, my oldest son was born on a round of Pergonol from a Mexican pharmacy. I've been buying, my family is part of that world that goes to and from Mexico for a lot of treatment. So that round of Pergonol worked. Pergonol is a fertility drug, and it cost us at that time. It enabled us to have children. Where we might not have been otherwise because of the cost differential of Pergonol. That doesn't say that my case is the rule. I don't know of anyone who's ever had that experience. I'm not going to say that make a blanket case for yes. But a lot of the labs, the Pfizer's, the Eli Lilly, the Hoffman La Roche, the pharmaceuticals that you buy are the same brand. They're made in Mexico. They're made at La Roche de Mexico or Eli Lilly or Pfizer or whatever. And so it's possible. I mean, I've heard those stories, too, about diluting or about something not having the same integrity. But I think that's more of a scare tactic. And part of the reason is that the same, to me, anyway, the identical drugs cost a fraction because the pharmaceutical companies don't have the liability, the legal liability that they have in the U.S. And they're not anxious to see their own market undermined. We call it the gray market. The same thing happens with Duracell batteries. You go to Duracell did the same thing years ago. Said, if you buy Duracell batteries in Canada or Mexico, they're an inferior product to the Duracell batteries. They weren't counterfeit. They just said it's not the same level of performance of the battery. I don't buy it. I think that it's the companies don't want you to do it because they perceive it as undermining their profit margin in the U.S. Could it be possible? I suppose so. But I can tell you in the personal and the anecdotal world and the world that I travel in, it's never been the case. That was the first part of your question. And the second one is, on the safety issue, once again, and I've been banging the same drum on Bill's show for months now and will continue to, Mexico is, I'm from Chicago, and I'm safer today where I am right now than I am if I'm in downtown Chicago. We're a country that scares easily. I think that a lot of what Homeland Security, a lot of what law enforcement in the U.S. says today is designed simply for us to hand over our rights to the government. And I, for one, am not interested in doing that. This is what Ron Paul's message has been to me, has been about civil rights. I don't see it. In my, as I say, going back and forth, my kids go back and forth. The danger factor is there. But again, statistically, the likelihood of anything happening to you today in Tucson is greater than it is if you were to be going to Mexico.
Keith, we're going to have to leave it right there. Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much. Have a good time in Mexico, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot to you guys.
Thanks. Keith Rosenblum on the Buckmaster Show, contributing from Mexico at least once a month on the program. General John Wickham is coming up next. Lots to talk about. The world is a very, very dangerous place, and we will be hearing from General Wickham very shortly on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. An official says the Marine Corps has identified at least two of the four Marines in an internet video that purports to depict them disrespecting the bodies of some Taliban fighters in Afghanistan. President Obama and Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu have spoken by phone today about Iran, although the White House isn't saying if they talk specifically about the attack this week that killed an Iranian nuclear scientist in Tehran. The death of a French television cameraman in Syria is bringing renewed calls for an independent probe of the violent conflict there. Well, even for Alaska, this is a lot of snow. Another big snowfall began shortly before midnight in Anchorage. Forecasters warn that the heaviest amount could come later today, with up to 16 inches expected. The Dow's down 7 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost, and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people, and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our voice partners listening in Globe and Douglas. And if you would like to call in on the Buckmaster Show, our Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040. Well, the United States must engage the new North Korean regime. That's the word from Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham. General Wickham was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was also the Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. combined forces from 1972 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. General Wickham, hope 2012 is off to a good start for you.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm delighted to be on your program as always. I think it's so valuable to our listeners to keep current with major issues, and you're so well informed on them, and you point out the North Korean scene, which is a dangerous one, a nation that's a rogue nation run by tyrannical leadership. And now, since Kim Jong-il has died, he's put his youngest son, Kim Jong-un, who's only about 27, doesn't know anything about government, in charge. And but it seems to be going smoothly. And I just read on the Internet a few moments ago that the North Korean Foreign Affairs Office has proposed to the United States to resume negotiations on giving up some of their enrichment of uranium activity in exchange for food aid. Now, this was a deal that apparently was in the works before Kim Jong-il died. And so now it's been brought back, and it's an illustration, I think, that the leadership is trying to reach out in some responsible way. Does it mean that they're willing to go back to the six-party talks about giving up nuclear weapons? Maybe. But my instinct is that there's nothing we can do to get the North Koreans to give up nuclear weapons. It's their ace in the hole for security. They look at what happened to Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, who gave up nuclear capability, and look what happened to him. So I think the lesson there is also one that the Iranians are going to observe. I don't think, my guess is that the Iranians are going to have nuclear weapon capability within a year, and they're not going to give it up.
Well, that situation scares a lot of people. And let's talk about Iran for a moment and come back to North Korea, because I have a couple more questions about North Korea. But I think many people are worried that when it is announced that Iran does have nuclear capability, that there will be some kind of military action either by the Israelis and or the United States.
That's right. There's a lot of speculation in the media about a strike that the Israelis would do, or we would do, or do it in combination. The downsides of all of that, Bill, for your listeners are that it would be catastrophic to world peace. The Russians and the Chinese would abhor what we are doing, and it would really strain relations with them. It probably would lead to doubling or tripling the price of oil in the world. And think about that, what that would do to the gas pump and to the trying to the faltering recovery economically. So, and furthermore, the experts say that any kind of strike on Iran's nuclear capabilities probably would only set them back a couple of years. Virtually everything that the Iranians have is buried under mountains. So we really could not do a job doing it. What we've really got to do, in my humble opinion, Bill, is begin to think globally in the United Nations and elsewhere. How can we deal with countries like North Korea and perhaps Iran, and maybe Saudi Arabia, who will develop some nuclear weapons capabilities? How can we develop a new regime of control and containment that we don't have yet? The Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty really isn't working adequately. And I think there are concepts and policies that could be put into place that would protect these weapons from being used in a proliferating way or getting in the hands of terrorists. In other words, recognize that we can't get rid of them, but how can we make them more stable and peaceful?
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. General Wickham, then, are you convinced that, well, who is running the show then in North Korea at this point?
Bill, the North Korean operation is run by the military. Kim Jong-un and even his father were sort of the figurehead faces of that. The military is running it. There are elites in North Korea, as you can imagine. Some of them are rather wealthy, intellectuals, scholars, and they are, because of the benefits that they are receiving, they don't want to have any instability, nor do the Chinese. The Chinese want to maintain some kind of stability in North Korea. They don't want to see a massive group of refugees flowing across the border into China, and they don't want to see a regime change in North Korea that could lead to a government that is friendly to the West and anti-Chinese. So China is only going to be very limited in influence in managing North Korea. I've talked to the Chinese in my many visits to China, the top leaders, the political and military, and they keep telling me, yes, North Korea is our closest ally. But let us tell you something. We can't tell them anything. They are very independent-minded, and they're very tough as an ally.
Let's talk about China. You brought the China up with the growing economic and military strength. Is that a concern now to the American government?
Well, yes, it has to be, because, number one, economically, they are a competitor, and although we are enormous, it's our biggest trading partner, and we do compete with them. They do manipulate their currency. It does not float freely on the marketplace, and therefore they can sell goods cheaper, perhaps, than we could. And that, in other words, creates problems for us and other countries. So there is an economic problem. I think there's some piracy that goes on also in terms of software and in copyrights and patents that we have to deal with them periodically. I know that historically we've gone through that kind of a thing. Militarily, we're going to see China grow in importance. They have military funding that is enormous. It doesn't compare to ours. They're much less investment than ours. But militarily, they are growing. Now, will they use their military might to challenge us directly? I don't think so. But I think they can have influence in the Pacific that will challenge the influence that we can bring to bear. And that's the reason that President Obama is seeking to strengthen the U.S. presence in the Pacific. We are a Pacific power, and we need to demonstrate that capability and demonstrate to our friends and allies in the Pacific that we're going to be there as a stabilizer and influencer and protector of commercial opportunity.
I wanted to get your thoughts. After the break, by the way, we're going to talk about U.S. defense cuts, because I want to give that a whole section. There's so much to talk about. But the head of Iran was in Cuba and Nicaragua recently, and that's concerning a lot of people in Washington.
Yeah, Ahmadinejad, the prime minister, who's going through a very tough spell in Iran, there's an indication of a considerable hostility between him and the supreme religious leader in Iran. But that's another issue, and it may very well reflect what he's trying to do in building support elsewhere. The countries that he's talking to, Venezuela and
Cuba, Ecuador, and Nicaragua,
these are troublesome countries. They welcome Iran, and they welcome Iran's oil. Iran does have oil reserves that they do sell. So there are some values that can be derived, but I would not read too much into that. It's just a poke in the eye that Ahmadinejad is trying to use.
General John Wickham is with us. This is a good time, I think, to take a break, because when we come back, we want to talk with General Wickham about these U.S. defense cuts. What is it going to mean to veterans? Lots of questions for General Wickham. You can join in the conversation, 790-2040. But right now, let's take a break and listen to the lineup of fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. We'll be back.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Coming coming up on 12:49. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army. General Wickham, these defense cuts are very troubling to many that are associated with the defense industry and the military.
They are, and you're going to get during this political campaign that we're underway now a lot of hectoring and one can argue misguided comments about what's going on. The reality is, Bill, that we have to make cuts. The $500 billion reductions that Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, is orchestrating now are mandated by the Congress. So we have to make these reductions. And there's another $500 billion that may have to be taken unless Congress can rescind some of those because of the failure of the 12-person super committee to come up with reductions. So there could be what is called another sequestration of $500 billion, which could do real devastating harm to our defense capabilities. But these $500 billion that are going to be planned for the next 10 years, I think are reasonable in my humble opinion. We've got to begin to reinvest in American people, American infrastructure, American research and development and veterans care, and we can do that. We can cut the Army and the Marine Corps are going to be reduced about 15%. We can take those cuts and be able to do the things that we have to do. We have to do something to revise the retirement programs and health care programs for those in the military. I think it's manifestly unfair and unjust that young men and women who serve less than 20 years in the military and leave because they're kicked out or because they choose to leave, they get nothing in the way of benefits, and I think they should. And so I think some kind of a 401k or IRA arrangement where the government kicks in money and vests these people after maybe 5 or 10 years is a fair way of going about it. So I think there are things that can be done on the retirement side, benefit side, that will save us some money and yet at the same time be beneficial to those who serve.
You know, I just can't believe, though, that, as you say, less than 20 years, if you're in less than 20 years, you're not going to have any kind of medical benefits. It's just hard to believe. And a lot of young people join the military for usually two things, education and health care benefits.
Exactly. And one of my sons is an attorney, and the work that he does is dealing with military people, veterans, and trying to fix the problems that these veterans have faced with the government, the bad discharges, unfair treatment. He's been pretty successful in turning things around. So he knows firsthand the unfairness that exists. And you're exactly right, Bill. People don't think about if you're kicked out or you choose to leave in less than 20 years, sorry about that, you get nothing. I think that's manifestly unjust.
How serious is that proposal, General Wickham?
I think it's pretty serious. There are a lot of pressures. Senator McCain and others are pushing for this, that we've got to make some adjustments. We've got to make some savings. Otherwise, and that's the problem, I think, with this political campaign that's underway now, that there's a lot of argument that we need to invest more. We need to spend more money on defense, buy more equipment, open up new bases, keep our people deployed overseas. We have troops and families in Germany and in Korea that are essentially related to the Cold War. We can reduce some of that. Rumsfeld started some of it, to his credit, and I think we can do more. But there's going to be pressure to don't do anything. Let's keep the defense because it handles jobs in my district and my state.
You know, I really think that is going to be one of the marquee issues, though, of this presidential campaign. It's going to be defense.
And the strategy that's coming out of this review is that we should build a capability to fight one war and maybe several smaller hostilities around the world. And there's going to be criticism from the right against that, that that's a sort of a step back into reluctant America to get involved. The reality, Bill, is that we have not been able to fight two major wars for several decades. We have not mobilized the reserves and the guard. We've had some selective call-ups, but never a mobilization. When the Joint Chiefs of Staff, for example, went to see LBJ to mobilize the guard and reserves in to go to Vietnam, he refused. So we had to do it all from the draft and from active forces. We've never provided the equipment for the guard and reserves to fight two wars. So going to one war strategy and able to fight several smaller hostilities in addition is a recognition of reality.
So are you looking for bases to be closed as part of this? And, of course, that's a concern for us here in southern Arizona because we're very heavily dependent, as you know, on Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and Fort Huachuca for our friends who are listening to this program in Sierra Vista.
That's true. That's true. There's always this effort to base the BRAC, base realignment committees that have come up in the past to close bases and consolidate. We may go through another one of those in the year or two ahead. There's no initial savings that come out of that kind of a process, but there are some long-term savings, and there may be some of that. I think we need to think further about closing some of our overseas bases, even though in Korea and in Germany, the government, the local governments help offset some of the costs. But like Fort Huachuca and Davis-Monthan and Luke Air Force Base, the local communities can play a very powerful role in building up political support to retain those bases. I don't think there's any real threat right now to close those bases because we've invested heavily in rebuilding them, and they are useful, very useful in our military capabilities now. But there's always that threat as we cut back.
For all of our veterans who are listening to this program, I want to thank them for their service. And they're probably wondering, well, where do they fit in these defense cuts? How will that affect those that have served and put the uniform on in this country?
Well, one of the real accomplishments of this current administration has been to refurbish and rebuild the Veterans Administration. They have more funding now than they've had in decades, and as a result, one option is that they get their budget 1 year in advance so that they know what can be procured and what nurses and doctors they can keep, what pharmaceuticals they need to get. It's the only branch in government that does that. So that, I think, is a tremendous credit, and I think they're putting money where their mouth is to take care of veterans. What we're beginning to discover, however, Bill, is that the cost of caring for the veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, is the medical costs, are likely to exceed $1 trillion in the future. And we have not paid for that. That's because we went to these wars on the credit card, and the cost of the wars alone is $1.5 trillion. And then you add the veterans on top of that. That's $2.5 trillion. Who's going to pay for that? Our children and grandchildren, unfortunately. We don't need to do this ever again, go to war on the credit card. But there are going to be some difficult times ahead. Yet this administration we have now, thanks also to people like Gabby Giffords and her role in the Veterans Affairs Committee, we've done superbly. The VA facility here in Tucson is one of the best in the United States.
Yeah, I keep hearing about all the great treatment that veterans get here locally, and I know you've been very active with the local VA. General John Wickham, thank you very much. How are you doing? Did you take your bike ride today?
I've had the bike ride, and I was talking to one of your assistants. Pretty cold out there. But, you know, I was listening just as a comment, a couple of points I would make for your benefit. They're listening on your break to your list of sponsors. You have some very, very important sponsors, and it's, I think, a reflection of the quality of your program that these sponsors are anxious to be associated with your program and with your name, and they're doing good service like you are for the community.
Thank you very much, General Wickham, and we will look forward to having you on the program in February. And my very best to Ann and your family. Thank you, General Wickham.
Thank you, Bill, and God bless.
Thanks a lot. General Bye. John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. What great insight that man has, and we are so proud to have him as a part of this show. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Mike Flowers getting ready for tax season, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. If you're looking for a CPA to handle your taxes, I can't think of a better guy to do it than Michael C. Flowers. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Steve Farley, state representative, will be with us tomorrow on Friday Focus. And, of course, we'll have the Reporters Roundtable. Tomorrow, our lineup will include Jimmy Bogle, The Weekly, and Mark Evans, administrator at TucsonCitizen.com. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon on the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.